Desire this evening. Amen. Let's just stand together this evening.
tonight for all that he's done. Oh, we say thanks. Oh, thanks. Lord, I give you thanks for all you've done. My Lord, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, oh, has he been good to you tonight? Let's sing it again together. Oh, we say thanks. Oh, thanks. Lord, I give you thanks for all. Oh, we're so blessed tonight. Yes, Lord, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks.
Good to be in church again together. And for about a year, we've been on a series on flawed characters, and just felt led to kind of take a pause from that. I don't know if we'll continue on with that in future weeks or if we'll move on to something else, but Lord just laid this thought on my heart for tonight of love one another. Love one another. Seems, oh, you say that's such a simple topic, Brother Nathan. Yes, and we need more of it than anything else I can think of. Amen. St. John chapter 13. And verse 35, Jesus speaking, he said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples." Notice he didn't say if you speak in tongues, if you can jump higher than the pulpit, if you shake the pastor's hands, if you're friends with the deacons. He didn't say any of those things. He said, if you have love one to another. Amen. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. 2 John chapter 1, verse 5, John referring to the same scripture that the Lord had spoken. He said, "And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Amen. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you'd be with us during this service. Lord, may you just come down and make your abode with us. May you have preeminence in this service, Father. Lord, may you, Father, just receive all the glory. Help us as we look into the quotes into the scriptures. Lord, just be with me. Guide my lips and the selection of my words, Father. May you just take complete control. Help me to yield myself to you, so that you could say something that would encourage the group that's here this evening. Lord, may we go out closer to you than we was when we came in. And Lord, may we just have more love one for another, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Brother Joel, I see there's several fanning. You may want to kick that on for just a little bit. Brother Bram says this in Demonology in the Physical Realm, 1953. He says, "I realize, as I treat the people, I'm treating God. Just my attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ, and your attitude towards me is the same thing, that's right, towards Christ." Now, I wonder sometimes if we remember this quote. There's many times, you know, some of our favorite quotes we remember, and we're quick to bring those to people's attention, our pet doctrines and things like that. But I wonder, when we go to dealing with people, whether it's people in our own family, whether it's people at the church or people at our job or people at our schools or people that we come into contact with at Meijer or Walmart or the gas station or wherever you're at, I wonder if this quote is the one that always comes to our mind. My attitude towards you is my attitude towards Christ. And when we go to say something to somebody, and when we go to handle a situation a certain way, I wonder if that's the first thing that comes to our mind, is the way that I handle this, the way that I treat that person, the way that I treat that lady at the license branch that's taken 3 hours to get this done, or the way I'm treating this one or that one, that's my attitude towards Christ. I think some of us, maybe, you know, myself included, we need to have it taped on our mirrors and on our dashboards, especially in our cars. My attitude towards that other driver, is my attitude towards Christ. And he says, but then that also works in the reverse, that your attitude towards me then as well is your attitude towards Christ. Now, Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1.
He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Now, sadly, this hasn't been preached a lot in message churches. Many have focused on the tongues. Many have focused on the mysteries. Many have focused on faith. All those things are wonderful. We believe in all those things because they're all part of the scriptures. But if we have all of those things and don't have charity or love, if you look, the meaning is just love. If we don't have love, what good is any of that doing us? I remember one time in Liberty, Kentucky, at my Uncle Morse's church. He had invited some guest ministers in that weekend for his Memorial Day meetings, and we went down there, and my uncle, Brother Jeff Bryant, was speaking, and he took the topic on, does your revelation match your character? And it was interesting to me because it seemed like some of the ministers on the pulpits were squirming more than the people in the congregation. Does your revelation, does your character match your revelation? Because if it doesn't, if I can get up here and quote like a machine gun, if I can get up here and perform all kinds of signs and wonders and get all deep into some mystery and try to show you some great thing that you'd have to bring a thesaurus to even understand the words that I was using, and if I could delve deeper and deeper and deeper, I like what my dad said one time. He said, you know, if you dig too deep, it kills the seed. I think some ministers around the message have tried to dig so deep and so deep and so deep that the people have fallen asleep on them. And they're excited about what they're saying, but nobody else is. Amen. It's quiet in here tonight. If I know all the mysteries, if I'm able to explain it all down to the letter, and oh, this is what Paul meant when he said this, and this is the way Brother Branham taught us the serpent seed, and all of these things, and then I get up here and I treat you bad, and I run you down, and I make a spectacle out of you, and I say, oh, my, we're going to really get Brother so-and-so tonight. We're going to line him out. What good is all my mysteries doing me? If I have faith that Mike and, you know, like Joel Osteen trying to preach prosperity and speak things into existence as far as when it comes to money in your bank account and just name it and claim it, and God wants you to have this and God wants you to have that. God wants to provide your needs, but he didn't promise us a limousine and a $5 million bank account, but God said he'd provide for our needs. And David said, I was young and I'm old now, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging for bread. I've seen the bank account get pretty low, Brother Layton. I've seen it getting into the negatives, but I've never had to go and beg for bread. God's always provided. And it may not have came in the way that we expected. It may not have came in the way that we wanted it to, but God was always on the scene, and he always provided for our needs. And many times we get our needs confused with our wants. I want air conditioning, but I don't really need it. Uh-oh. I'm sorry, I thought I was in Ghana where Brother Trevor's preaching, but I forgot I'm in the United States still. Oh my, the air condition goes out and we're a little concerned, and the electricity goes out for a few days. We had an ice storm here a few years ago and we was out of electricity for 5 days, Brother Hoover, and my, it felt like I was in Haiti or somewhere in some third world country, but we survived. It wasn't a need, really. It was just a want. We want it. We appreciate it. All those things are wonderful. But we can get by without it, believe it or not. It's not as comfortable, maybe, without it. But God provides, and God knows what we have need of. But what good is it? You know, many times we focus so much on learning, and learning is wonderful. I'm not downing education or not downing learning the message, but Paul told Timothy there, he said, study to show yourself approved. But if all we do is study and we don't have a character to go behind that, and my, we can really tell somebody, you know, what things are and what we believe and all that, but we don't have a life that's lived behind that studying, then what good is all of our studying doing? All that we've done is just become an educated heathen. Brother Branham said that's what they were doing. Many of them that was going out, you know, and he talks about that in that sermon, running without a message. He said, they said, go tell. Jesus told them to go tell, but he said, you can't go and tell unless you have something to tell. And he said, many of them was getting over there, and they were getting the people to reading, writing, and arithmetic. And he said, all it did was just made them an educated heathen. And he said, that's harder to reach than the uneducated heathen, because now they think they know something about it. We've got a lot of those around the message. Just educated heathens. And they can quote just enough to make themselves dangerous. And they can understand just enough to make themselves, you know, a little bit to where it's hard to convince them that they're wrong. But they've never really got to that experience down on the inside. And without the experience, all the words and all the quoting and all the knowledge and all the mysteries, we appreciate those things. But if there's not an experience behind that, if there's not a life of God's love lived behind it, how are we going to help anybody? Amen. If we go and we want to beat them over the head with a message book or a Bible and say, well, bless God, this is the way that I believe it, but there's no life being produced behind it, how are we ever going to convince anybody that the product that we have is better than what they have out there somewhere? Brother Bram said we have the greatest thing that's ever hit the face of the earth, but he talks about the man that had the, you know, the nail gun that he was trying to sell. And he said, oh my, you know, he said, if you go out there and you find the guy out there with an old hammer, just a plinkety, plinkety, you know, and one nail at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. And he's just taking his time going down the board there. And he says, now listen, You're so in the past, you know, he said, you're so, you're just illiterate and you don't know nothing. And look at this, you're here with this little bitty hammer trying to do all this work. And we've got this great thing. He said, you've already ruined your product because you ran down the other man's product. But might you take and say, oh my, that's a nice looking hammer there. Oh yeah, Betsy's been with me for 17 years and we've been through a lot together. And he says, and you begin to compliment him on what type of nice work that he's doing. You say, now I just got something here that I'd like you to try for a while. Remember when he was selling the lamps or trying to work for the public service there, and they had a contest that whoever sold the most lamps would win a prize at the end of it all. And he said, he told him, you know, you guarantee the light and you back it up. And oh yes, all these things. He said, just fill up the back of my truck with them. And he'd go and he'd stop and he'd tell those people, why don't you just take one of these lamps? Oh, Brother Bill, we can't afford it. I'm not asking you to buy it. I just got so many on the back of the truck here. What it is I just need to unload them for a while. I need somewhere to put it. I didn't ask you to buy it. They said, okay, you know, we'll just take it and try. He said, I'll personally guarantee that if there's anything wrong with it or anything, I'll take care of it. And he would leave it there. And by the time he came back around, they didn't want to give the lamp back up. They said, we'll just buy it. How much is the payments on it? Because he said he knew it was a good product. And if it was a good product, it would sell itself. He didn't have a bunch of tricks up his sleeve and a bunch of sales pitches and things, but it was a good product and he knew it would sell itself. What was it? It had become a part of their home, and it had become something to where maybe they were late at night, you know, by the coal oil lamp. It was hard for them to read the scriptures and hard for them to spend time with their children and things. And now this new light that they've got, the lamp, it had become such a fixture in their home that when he comes back to retrieve it, they said, no, we'll just keep it. Oh, I wish when we went to witness to people, we could keep that type of mentality. Not bless God, your denomination is this, and you're wrong over here, and you're wrong over there. But have you read one of these books? Why don't you just take it and keep it a while? Maybe it'll become a fixture in your home. Maybe it'll become something that where you was walking in darkness before, it'll begin to shed a little light on what you're looking at in the scriptures. And might we would just approach it that way, not running down the other man's product, but just showing them, look, we've received something in this age. And we don't have to have a lot of salesmanship or TV evangelism to sell it. The product will sell itself. You just live the life and let them see it through you. Amen. You don't have to work something up. You don't have to come up with some scheme or some new doctrine. You know, a lot of the problems with ministers around the message that have given ministers a bad name is they think to keep the people's attention, they've got to come up with something new every year, some new revelation, some great deep thing that nobody else knows but them. When I find a man that's preaching something that nobody else is preaching, I begin to wonder where he got it from. Because we're all reading the same message in the same Bible. I'm not here to try to produce something new to you. I'm just here to try to emphasize to you the things that's already been said and say, hey, I polished off this nugget the other day and it was pretty good. Have you seen this one in a while? Amen. That's all I'm here to do. I'm not here to try to come up with something new. Although I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Even though I give my body to be burned, even though I'm a martyr, even though I go through all these steps of self-righteousness and trying to do something and trying to be something, and even though I can produce all these things, he says, if you don't have love to mix with it, it's nothing. Now, this word charity, if we look at it in the Greek lexicon, it's a word called a Greek word of agape. And if you remember a few months ago, we had looked at these three words that the New Testament uses for love. As Brother Branham said, our English language, a lot of times we use one word as far as the sound of the word, but it might mean five or six different things. He said, for instance, Brother Branham uses this example. He said he could say the word bored on a tape, and somebody would say, oh, we bored him tonight. And somebody else say, oh, no. What it is, he was talking about boring a hole through a piece of wood. Somebody else said, no, he went and paid his room and board. And somebody else said, no, he was talking about that board on the side of the wall there. And all of them come to all these different conclusions, but yet all of them couldn't be correct, but yet it was the same word. And many times we use one word in the English language, might mean many different things. And this word love or charity in the New Testament here, there's three different words that Brother Branham tells us mainly about. Two of them, philia, which is just humanistic love that anybody that's your next door neighbor could have or anything like that. And then there's agapo love, which Brother Branham emphasizes on as well, which is that godly love. But then there's also agape, which is a brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. This is the type of love that Paul's talking about, that brotherly love, that how you would love somebody else in the family of God and how you would treat them. He said, if I don't have that real, genuine brotherly love, that if I see my brother, even if I disagree with him, even if I think he's wrong, that there's something inside of me that love compels me to do something to help him. Love compels me to have a handout, to do whatever I can. To do what I can for him and help him along life's way. Sadly, we don't see that a lot these days. That real true brotherly love, that real true brotherly kindness, that long suffering. As Brother Branham said it in a quote we read recently, he said, long suffering means you tarry with the brother even when he's wrong. Even when he's the one that's wrong, you can go with him a little ways and try to help him, try to bring him back. There's something about love that it compels us to do things that we normally wouldn't think we would even do. There's something about love that caused Christ, as we looked at it Sunday morning, to come and give his life and lay there on that cross and let him drive nails in his hands and his feet. He didn't have to do that. He chose to do that because love had compelled him to come and to give his life as a sacrifice. And there they stood and they said, oh, he saved others, but himself he cannot save. Brother Branham said it was the best compliment they could have paid him, because if he had saved himself, he couldn't have saved others. But he knew that he had to come and give his life. He said all he would have had to do was just point one finger. And he said there was thousands of angels in those trees that would have come and destroyed the whole world and let him go free from that cross. All he had to do was just point, Brother Jimmy. And he said, I love him too much. Love compelled him to hang there. Love compels us to do things that sometimes we scratch our head and say, why would I do that? But love compels us. Remember, Brother Branham tells the story about the little girl that was coming back from college on the train. And the train pulled into the station, and there she was with one of her little Snickle Fritz friends. And they got off the train, and she'd been away at college. She thought she was a little better than somebody else. And they thought she had learned a little bit more, knew a little bit more than everybody else. And they got off the train there at the train depot. And as they stepped onto the platform, there was a little disfigured up woman that had scars all over her hands and her face. And she just looked like a terrible wretch. And she went running up to the little girl, and the little girl said, get away from me. when she saw the reaction of her friend, you know, the look of horror in her face to see this woman whose skin was all disfigured and discolored, and her hands and her face were just all warped and torn, and my, just the flesh looked like it had ran off of her, and she acted disgusted and said, "I don't know who you are, get away from me." And just so happened that the train master happened to be standing there, and he stepped out on the platform and grabbed the little girl by her sleeve, and he said, "Listen here, Missy." He said, "You might think that you're something. You might think that you're somebody with your friend there." He said, "You might think you're beautiful." But he said, "This woman here, she was more beautiful than you'll ever be." He said, "I knew her since she was a little girl and went to school with her." But he said, "One night lightning struck and the house caught fire, and she had a little baby in the crib, and love, what did it do? It compelled her to go in, even through the flames, even through, maybe it meant her own life. Maybe it meant, oh my, just terrible things for her to be burned up in that house. But love compelled her to run instead of away from the fire, right through into the fire. And because of it, she was disfigured and burnt, and her skin all tore to pieces and almost lost her life. And here she stands, this once woman who was so beautiful, disfigured. And my, the girl stand there, and he said, "Don't you ever be offended or be embarrassed about your mother." And she was the little baby that the woman had ran in to save. But because, oh my, because it wasn't something that was pleasant, because it wasn't something that, oh, you know, it embarrassed her a little bit, she began to reject and despise the very one that loved her enough, and was love compelled her enough to go and risk her own life to save her. Remember, the Bible said there was no beauty of him that we should desire him. If Jesus would be in our city today, he wouldn't be in people's 50 most beautiful people in the world. There was no beauty that we should desire him, but love compelled him. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Without love, what good do the law and the prophets do us? If there hadn't been love that God cared about us, if it hadn't been for God's love to come and redeem us, as we looked at Sunday morning, what good would all the commandments and the laws and the rules and the prophets that were sent over years and that decade after decade, and prophet after prophet with prophecies of things to come, what good would any of it have done us if there hadn't been that godly love that compelled him to come to the cross and redeem us? We would have been able to say, "Well, you know, it's pretty good, and intellectually it makes sense, and you know, yes, that's wonderful, all the things that are being said." But if love hadn't compelled him to come for us, there would have been no way to redeem us back to where that fallen estate that man had fallen from. There would have been nothing to redeem us back into fellowship with God. All the law and all the prophets, all the commandments, it all hung on these two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some of us, you know, it's easy for us to get to that spot to where we really feel like we love God, and that, you know, my, we just love him so much that we just want his perfect will, and whatever he does, that we still love him anyhow. And even some of us go a little bit further than that, when the Bible goes to talking about, when Paul says that a man and a woman, that they were one flesh, and that no man at any time ever hated his own flesh. Some of us get even a step further than that, to where we're able to look at our wife and say, "My, I love her so much I'd give my life for her. I love her so much I'd do anything. I love her so much that I would put my my desires, you know, I would put hers above mine. And if she needed something, I would put that above my needs." And we're able to look at our children and say, "My, I love them so much, I would give my own life for them. And if they were hungry, I would go hungry so that I could feed them. And I would put their needs before mine." But Jesus says, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Sometimes it's easy for us to love God, and it's even easy for some of us to love our spouse or our children and put them on a level where we can love them as ourselves. But what about your neighbor? They asked Jesus, they said, well, who is my neighbor? And he begins to tell them a story. And he said there was a man that was on his way to Jericho, and thieves came and they robbed him and they beat him and they left him naked on the side of the road bleeding. And here comes a priest down the road. And you would have thought that would have been the guy that would have been his neighbor and would have been the one to help him. Here comes this priest down the road, and he sees this guy, just a terrible wretch out there laying, bleeding, naked, no money, didn't have anything to put in the offering plate. And he said, oh, I'm going to walk around the other side of the road from that guy. And here comes a Levite down the road, and he does the same thing. But here comes a Samaritan. Remember, Brother Bram tells us they had segregation in those days, and that the Samaritans and the Jews weren't even supposed to talk to one another. It was a cultural thing or a racial thing, and they weren't supposed to have fellowship one with another. And even when Jesus comes and he begins to talk to the woman at the well, she says, hey, now, wait a minute. We don't have any dealings with you all. You worship over there in the temple, and we worship over here in the mountain, and your people do this, and our people, you know, Abraham and Jacob dug these wells, and we worship this way. He said, hey, let me tell you, there's coming a time that the people won't worship in this temple or in this mountain, but they'll worship in spirit and in truth. And I'm thankful to be one of those that worship him, not just in the truth and not just in the spirit, but that we've got, by God's grace, he sent us a prophet, and we've got the spirit and the truth together flowing through the church. Not just the church of the open door, but the message. Those that have really entered into it. I'm not talking about those around the message. I'm talking about those in the message, or that have the message in them, rather. And he said, you'll worship in spirit and truth. And my, because of this, here this man is walking along, and the priest has ignored this man on the side of the road. And the Levite, who was a closer kinsman to him, he's ignored the man on the side of the road. But here comes a Samaritan. And by cultural standards, he's not even supposed to talk to this guy. By cultural standards, he's not even supposed to have a conversation with this guy. But he sees him in need, and there is something about it that love compelled him to do something about it. He said, I don't care what's popular. I don't care what somebody says. I don't care, you know, if I get my name in the newspaper and people saying bad things about me. I don't care if my family disowns me or my friends disown me. Or I don't care what anybody thinks or what anybody does. Because of this, there's a need, and I'm able to meet the need. And because of his compassion for the man, and because love compelled him to do something about it, he laid all the other aside and said, I'm going to do what's right regardless of what anybody thinks. Oh, if there were more of us like that today. Love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, now which one was his neighbor? They said, well, the one that you know helped him out. He said, well, go and do likewise. Go do something for somebody. Angel of the Covenant, 1954. Brother Branham says it this way, and so you might say, well, Brother Branham, I believe this. Well, maybe I wouldn't exactly see it, but that wouldn't keep me from thinking just the same of you, see. We just love one another just the same. Now, I don't know, you know, if there's a software glitch and just everybody else in the message has lost this quote, or you know, if the books that they had, if the ink just smudged just at that right time, and this one didn't get printed in anybody else's books. But it seems like the popular thing in the message these days is that if this brother and me see something one way, me and Brother Layton, we get together and we talk about it. Oh yes, this is the way we see it, and we're able to agree on it. And then somebody else come along and they say, well, we don't see it that way. We've been taught this way, or we believe this way, or we see it this way in the scripture. The typical thing is, well, bless God, you just go on, you know, you old buzzard roost or serpent seed or whatever it is, and we'll disfellowship you, and we'll go in, our four will go over here and you four will go over there, and we won't have any fellowship together, we'll talk about each other and run one another down, and we'll post things about one another on Facebook, and we'll get our little groupies together on our side, and you get your little groupies together on your side, and somehow this quote gets lost in all that. You might say, well, Brother Branham, I believe this. He said, well, maybe I wouldn't exactly see it, but that wouldn't keep me from thinking just the same thing of you, see? We just love one another just the same. You mean a brother can disagree with me on a doctrine, and I can still love him just the same? That's what the prophet said. In fact, he says in one place, he said, if God gave you the Holy Ghost, and he gave me the Holy Ghost, then he proves that he's ignoring our doctrines. He said he proves that he's ignoring your doctrine. I don't have the quote up here, but I can get it for you if you want me to. And we focus so much on that, on being right on our doctrines, that many times we lose sight of what Jesus said. The main thing was, love one another. Didn't say, by this you'll know you're my disciples if you can, arrange it all in a spreadsheet and a PowerPoint and explain the serpent seed and the Godhead in a precise manner better than anybody else can. Didn't say, that's how you know that you're my disciples. In fact, the devil's usually a lot better at all that than any of us anyhow, explaining things away. Brother Bram said he quotes things, but we quote them. Said he didn't quote it to Eve, he quoted it to her. He made it sound real nice, and oh, it's surely this and surely that. And he's really good at explaining things, but he's not very good at living things. There's something about it that when it's a real, genuine seed of God, they don't want to just go explain it to somebody, but they want to live what it says. They want to do what it says. They want to act upon what it says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Now, he's not saying necessarily, even though in this age it might have meant that, he's not saying that all of us have to go out and say, well, I love Brother Jeremy, so I'm just going to give my life and I'm going to let somebody kill me for him. No, we're not really living in that age anymore, that ox age of that type of persecution. But that doesn't mean that we just give up and say, well, that scripture doesn't apply anymore. Because to lay down your life doesn't just mean to put your head on a chopping block, but to lay down your life means a life of self-sacrifice. And Brother Branham said that's what the Christian life was a life of self-sacrifice, that we lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, that we allow, you know, if we see a need, if we see somebody in trouble, if we see somebody that's starting to slip away from the Lord, or we see somebody in financial distress, or we see somebody whose marriage is beginning to fall apart, or we see somebody whose children are starting to stray from God, you know, we don't get on the phone and tell everybody about it, but we go to our knees for that person. And we join together in prayer for that person. And not only that, but if we're able to do something about it, if we're able to help in some way, we don't just do like the man, you know, that Peter talked about there and said, well, God bless you, go in peace. But he said, no, if you can do something about it, do something about it. If a man comes to your door and says, my, I'm starving and I could sure use something to eat, don't say, well, God bless you, I'll sure be praying for you if you've got a big cheeseburger in the refrigerator and you can do something about it, or you've got a gift card to Subway or somewhere that you can give him and say, brother, look, I'm sorry that you've run across on hard times. I can't do everything for you about it, but I can help you along the way a little bit here, and maybe God will bring you across somebody else that'll help you a little further. It's easy for us to say, God bless you, go in peace. But what can you do about it? What can you do to lay down your life for the brethren? But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Oh my. What a lesson. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Jerry Clower tells a story. He said that there was two guys that was sitting there, and they were best friends, had grown up together. And the one said, he said, hey, if you had $2 million, he said, would you give me one of them? He said, man, we've been buddies our whole life. He said, you know, if I had $2 million, I'd give you $1 million of it. He said, well, what if you had two houses? He said, would you give me one of them? He said, man, we've grown up since we was kids. If I had two houses, I'd sure give one of them to you. He said, well, what about if you had two hogs? Would you give me one of them? He said, oh, man, you know I've got two hogs. Many times it's easy for us to say that we're going to do something when we don't really have it to do with. But what about when there's a need? You know, a brother called and asked me to borrow my truck today. He needed to haul some dirt and things in it. I could have said, well, God bless you. I hope the Lord works that out for you. Sure hope the Lord sends somebody along that's got a truck to help you out there, buddy. We sure love you and we'll be praying for you about that. Or I could just say, sure, let me do anything I can to be a help to you, to be a blessing to you. Many times God puts it in our hands to do something, and we wait on somebody else to do it, and they wait on somebody else to do it, and then it never gets taken care of. Why? Because we didn't listen to that still small voice that was telling us, don't just love in tongue and in word, but love in deed. From the beginning, it wasn't so. 1959. He says, and you know, you have to enter into the suffering of a person to have feelings for them. If it ever gets to a place that I can't feel sorry for the sick, then it's time for me to leave the platform praying for them. It's when I can get to a place that I can't feel the burden of sin on the people. Then it's time for me to get away from here, because I could never do no good for God. It's the feeling you have for the people. You know, it's a love that you can project to the people, that they know you love them and they love you, and you can feel it. And there's something that happens then. Something that happens then. Why? Because he was able to enter into the suffering of the people. Remember, I was telling a brother just the other day on the phone, I reminded him of the story of the man in Mexico there. And Brother Bram said he came up there, didn't have no shoes on, said he probably never owned a pair of shoes in his life, didn't have no coat on. And he said, I just took and leaned my shoulders up against his to see if his shoulders was about the same size as mine. He said he was a much bigger man than me. My coat would have never fit him. And he said, I put my foot right up against the side of his to see if my shoes would fit him. He was going to take off his shoes and give them to the man, because he said the man didn't have it on his shoes. And here he was. The man comes up there through the prayer line. And Brother Brandon, because of this, because of his compassion that went out to the man, because he had a connection with the man, and because he said it looked like about what my daddy would look like if he was his age. And there was something that his heart went out to the man, that it wasn't just a, okay, you're number 27 in the prayer line, I'm just going to, you know, pray for you as number 27, and that's who you are, and just a number to somebody. But he entered into compassion with the man. He entered into the suffering of the man, and God moved down in a miraculous way and healed the man. But he said, if I can't do that, he said, if I can't get a feeling for the people, then I might as well just leave the platform, because he said, I can't do any good. He said, if you can't love somebody and you can't fake it, let me tell you, you have some of these people come up, oh, God bless you. You run into them in the mall sometimes. God bless you, Brother Nathan. We sure love you, and we're sure praying for your church. And I know what they said about me yesterday. It doesn't go very far. Doesn't go very far when you know some of the things they've said and done and how they really feel towards you. But then when we run into each other, oh, God bless you. So good to see you. Oh my, we just love you, brother. And you think, oh, okay. Next time I think it happens, I'm just going to put them on the spot and say, well, really? Because I heard this yesterday that you said to brother so-and-so. But I sure appreciate your words. I wish you'd show some deeds as well. You say you shouldn't do that. Jesus did things like that all the time. He had love. He was love. But love is corrective, and there's a lot of people out here that need some godly love correction. Not just to show them that you're cute or smart or something like that, but there's some people that need to be shaken up every once in a while and realize that things that they say get from point A to point B eventually. But my, if you say that you love somebody and you don't really mean it, you'd have been better off just to say, well, God bless you, good to see you, or something like that. Brother Bram said they can tell if you really love them or not. And there was something about him that he would enter in to the feeling of the people. He would enter in and have that type of compassion. He said, if not, then you might as well not even try, because you can't help the people if you don't love the people, if you don't have a feeling for them. Again, Queen of the South, 1960. He says, you have to feel the people's feeling. You can never help anybody unless you get right into it with them. You got to enter into their suffering. If you don't do it, you're just out. You got to have a love and something that makes you be just right with them. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, he said, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Brother Bram says this way in Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, 1952. If you want to serve God, serve his people. That's how you serve, he says. as we love one another, we love God. If you want to serve God, serve His people. There's something about us that, you know, a lot of times we want a position, or we want a status, or we want a label, or we want this, or we want that. If somebody asks you, oh my, you want to go on a mission trip, or you want this position in the church, or you want to go do this or go do that, and there's some prestige or a title that goes along with it or something like that, people are usually very quick to say, praise the Lord, yes sir, I sure will. But what about when somebody calls and says, hey, this widow sister over here, she's elderly and she needs her leaves raked, and we say, oh, I've got to do this and this and this and this, because there's not a lot of popularity in it. And there's not a lot of, you know, you don't get a lot of pats on the back about it. You don't get a lot of this and a lot of that. And there's not really a title that goes along with elderly sister raker helper. If you want to serve God, serve His people. That's how you serve. As we love one another, we love God. Works that I do bear witness of me. 1951, he says, and remember, little children, I don't care what church you belong to or what you have done, how well you've done this or that or the other, how much you've put into the collection plates, or if you're a deacon, preacher, pastor, or maybe a lay member or whatever it is, you'll never come into the kingdom of God until the Holy Spirit has sealed you in the kingdom by His divine love, that the whole Christian world is your brother and sister. The whole Christian world is your brother and sister. He's not just talking about everybody in this building. Oh, if I can just get everybody in this building to love one another the way that he's talking about, we'll be getting somewhere. But he's not just talking about that. Nor is he just talking about all the churches in this local area or all the message churches in general. He said that the whole Christian world is your brother and sister. And even when you run into this brother or sister out here that maybe don't know anything about God sent a prophet or anything like that, and they've got a flat tire, that there would be something in you that would compel you to help them. You say, why would I do that? Why? Because they may never have seen anything real. The whole world, Brother Branham said, they're starving to see something real, to see something genuine, to see the love of God moving in somebody's life. I had a brother tell me the other night, he was going through some situations in his life and going through some troubles, and he named me one person's name. He said, this one brother is the only brother that showed me the love of Christ. I thought, that's a Christian. That's a Christian, when somebody can recognize something about a specific individual, that they're going through something, and somebody, love compels them to reach out to that person and continue to reach out to that person, and love compels them to do something about it and to say something about it and to be an encourager. That's a Christian. The world is starving to see something like that, something real, something genuine, something that when everybody else out here wants a title or wants to say, oh, we're Methodist, we're Baptist, we're this, we're that, we're Message, we're Pentecostal, we're all these things. But they want to see somebody that's really living what they say they believe. And when you can do that and you can reach out to that brother or sister, maybe they're, you know, as far as we would consider with revelation and things like that, maybe as blind as a bat, but something down on the inside of you, love compels you to do something to help them in a time of need. You may not realize what an impact that'll have on that person's life. And you be a little bit salty and you see if they don't get thirsty for what you have. Brother Branham said that person came to him. They were having marital problems. He said, oh, Brother Branham, he said, I get her and I shake her and I rebuke that devil. He said, you're going about it the wrong way. He was trying to rebuke the devil out of her. He said, you know how to cast out devils? He said, buy her some flowers on the way home. Get her some chocolates. Oh, can I get an amen, sisters? You want to cast out those things that she's going through and those things that are fighting her? He said, buy her some flowers on the way home or some chocolate. Say something nice to her. Encourage her. Show her that you love her. He said, that's the way to cast out devils. Many of us think it's a gallon of anointing oil and a few slaps and a kick him out the door. You know, that we think that's how you get rid of devils. But he said, love. What is it that casts out fear? Love. What was it that stopped the bull in Henryville? Love. What was it that stopped the hornets in Jeffersonville? Love. What was it that stopped the maniac in Portland and made him fall right on Brother Branham's feet to where policemen had to go and drag him out? He said he loved him. He said, I felt sorry for him. He said, that poor man, Satan's got him so bound, he doesn't mean to be that way. Most of us would have been rolling up our sleeves saying, God, if I must fight to win, give me courage, Lord. We would have been ready to knock his lights out in the name of Jesus. But he loved him. He loved him. It's easy to love that guy that's patting you on the back and saying, oh, Brother Nathan, you sure did a good job. But what about the maniac running down the aisle ready to hit you and knock your head off your shoulders? Can you love him? Oh, my. What an example that we've been given. But yet, oh, how short we come from that example so many times. Oh, that the whole world is your brother and sister. That's right. The whole Christian world, whether, is your brother and sister. That's right. The world sealed out. And the God sealed in. When you love one another truly with divine Christian love, that's right. Then you know the Holy Spirit is really working through you then. How can I have a move of the Holy Spirit in my life, Brother Nathan? Love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You say, oh, I sure love the Lord, but brother so-and-so, there's just something about it. Every time I get around him, oh, if I see him in Walmart, I just try to go down another aisle as quick as I can. How can you say you love God whom you haven't seen when you can't even love your brother whom you have seen? Oh, I think it's checking up time, friends. Divine Healing, 1954. He said, I intend to stand between the breach and say we're brothers. Let's break down our differences and come love one another. And the world will come to Jesus when we do that. But as long as these wars and things among us, how can they believe? How can they want what we've got when many of us aren't producing anything better than what they've got out there? All we've got is strife and envy and malice and pride and things. They've got plenty of that out there already. But when somebody can produce real love, real godly love, that'll do something for somebody else even when they're in the wrong, people will recognize there's something about this man. There's something about this woman, that they've really got something, that they're not just professors, as Brother Billy Paul says, but they're possessors. Amen. God bless you tonight. If the musicians would come. The works that I do bear witness of me. 1951. He said, as you love one another, you love the Lord. If you don't want to love one another, you can't love the Lord. He said so. That's right. And God can't move in you. Can't move into you, rather. If you don't love one another, you can't love the Lord. He said so. That's right. And God can't move into you. You want to see a move of the Holy Spirit in your life? Get so in love with your brothers and your sisters and even the ones that maybe you don't agree with. Get so in love that if they needed something, that you'd do anything you could for that person, you'll begin to see the move of God in your life. Why? Because he is love. He's the very essence of love. Brother Branham said when he was out there in eternity in his own thoughts, he said it was just love. It was just pure love is all that God was. And he began to brood over the earth and the things that he began to do and say. All of it, everything that reflects back to him. People, it's hard for people to understand, how could a God be a God of love and allow this and do this and do that? We just don't understand godly love the way that we should. But all of God's purpose, all of his motive was because he loved us so much that he created a plan of redemption to bring us back and to restore us back to what he had, that picture that he had in his mind of us before the foundation of the world. He loved us that much to go through all these things and allow all these things to take place and to come and to give his life on a cross to redeem us back. Why? Because love compelled him to do it. He loved us so much. Oh, and we love him because he loved us first. What a blessed people we are. How do we know that we love him? When we love one another. Amen. God bless you. Let's just worship him together tonight. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Is that your desire tonight? Oh, flow. Flow through let's just worship Him together this evening.
Lord, just flow through me. Holy Spirit, flow through me.
Just take complete control, Father.
Oh, flow.
Jimmy turned in a prayer request, said a man at my work, his name's Shane, has mental problems and drug addiction, asked us to pray for him. Amen. I believe God's able to deliver those things. There's nothing too big for my God. His arm isn't shortened that He can't reach us. Let's just lift this man up in prayer. If you have a need in your life or somebody in your heart that you know is going through a struggle and that God maybe just placed Him on your heart, let's just take that need before Him tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as each one of us gather before Your throne tonight, Lord, we know there's many needs. Maybe You've impressed different things on different ones' hearts. Maybe loved ones that have strayed, or maybe financial situations that they know people's going through. Maybe some looking for jobs, or maybe some in need of physical help, or mental health, or deliverance from addictions, whatever it would be, Father. Lord, I just ask You to move on the scene for each request. You know the desire of each heart, Father. Lord, for this gentleman at Brother Jimmy's work, his name's Shane. Lord, may You just touch him and deliver him. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit go to him now and break every chain that binds him. Satan has sought to sift him as wheat, but Father, may You just be mindful of him tonight. May You go to him tonight. May Your Holy Spirit reach out to him, Father. Lord, may You just help him in a way that only You can. May a testimony come forth from it. Lord, You know the other needs that was requested tonight as I hold them in my hand as well, Father. May You just move on the scene for each one. Lord, for the unspoken requests, You saw each hand that was raised tonight. May You just begin to move on the scene for these situations. Lord, give each and every one of us just a greater love, a greater desire to serve You, Father. And as we serve You, Brother Branham taught us as we read it tonight, we serve each other. Help us to do something for somebody. Help us, Lord, to be there when there's somebody in need that needs encouragement, Lord, and they call. May You give us words to encourage. Lord, may we reach out to those, Lord, that maybe they've isolated themselves, or maybe they're distraught, or maybe they feel like nobody cares about them. Father, we know that You care about them. And Lord, that You said through the mouth of Your prophet that You don't have any hands but our hands, and no lips but our lips, no feet but our feet. And if You're going to do something, You do it through the body. Lord, may You use us, Father, to be an encouragement to others. May You use us to be a witness to others. May You use us to be a blessing to others. Lord, if we can help somebody that's going through financial troubles, we may not be able to bring them out all the way, but Lord, help us to do our part, whatever we can do. If there's somebody that has a need, Lord, maybe they're unable, maybe they're shut in, or maybe they've got physical problems, or Lord, maybe they're handicapped, or maybe they're sick in body, may You just help us to be mindful of those things, to take somebody a meal, or to do something around the yard for somebody. Do whatever we can, Lord, to be a help to somebody that's in need. Help us to serve. Lord, most people in this age, they want to be the big shot. They want to take the top seat. But help us to humble ourselves, Lord, to be a servant to others. You are the highest of high, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Yet You humbled Yourself to come and be a servant to others. Oh, help us, Father, to do all that we can to help others. Give us a greater desire, Lord, to be an encouragement. Give us a burden for lost souls. Help us to witness, Lord, wherever You lead us to. Give us that perfect love, Father. Your prophet said nothing could enter there without it. Help us to have so much love, Father, that no matter what anyone would say or do, Lord, that we could love them. It doesn't mean that we condone it. It's not a, your love isn't a doty love like some people think today, that you just condone everything because you have love. But love is corrective. But love is sincere, and it's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. Lord, help us to have that right type of godly love for our brothers and sisters. Not only for those in these walls, but those that we meet on the streets, wherever we would go, Father. Use us in any way that you see fit, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, flow through me. Let's just worship him a little while. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, flow through me, Holy Spirit. Flow through me. Oh, as I lift my hands to worship and to together. Oh, I know we shall be like him. Oh, we shall be like him someday. We shall be like him. Any day now, we'll be going home. Let's sing it this way. Oh, it won't. Trial may be.
Oh, count the weeks as days. Any day now we'll be going home. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy?
We've got something to be happy about tonight.
Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord.
You feel His presence here tonight?
The revealed word that was spoken that
night. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Let's just worship Him tonight. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Can't you see? Oh, what a blessed people.
Oh, I'm so happy I've accepted the word.
Not the voice of a man, but the voice of God.
The revealed word that was spoken by
Father God, just be with us tonight. I believe He's speaking to hearts tonight. Let's sing it again.
Oh, can't you see? Oh, this bride's so happy. For we've accepted, oh yes, the word of the Lord. It's the
to the Lamb. Let's sing it again together with all of our hearts.
Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the was spoken by the prophet.
Oh, how can you be positive during trials? How can you have a smile when it seems like everything's going wrong?
Oh, can't you see? Oh, why the bride's so happy? For we've accepted this.
Wouldn't trade it for anything. Take this whole world, but just give me Jesus. All the money, all the treasures, everything you could have. No, I'll just take His presence.
Oh, Papa God, You saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, You have cleansed and made me whole.
Lord, You touched my heart.
You changed my soul. Now I know I need You so. Papa God.
Oh, let's just worship Him together.
Oh, Papa God. You saved me, Lord, from my old life. You forgave me. Make me whole. Lord, You touched my heart. You changed my soul. Oh, now I know I need You so.
Papa God. One more time together.
Oh, Papa.
Him tonight. Oh, we recognize that we need You, Father. Oh, yes, Papa God. Lord, You saved me from my old life. You forgave me. Oh, You have made me whole. You touched my heart. You changed my soul. Now I know I need You so, Papa God. Oh, we love You, Jesus. Oh, yes, Papa it again together to him tonight. Oh, Papa God bless you. Dismiss. Let's sing it as we go tonight. try to repay all I've taken from you. Oh, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else all I've been through myself on my way back to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Oh, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Lord, I know what I am. Oh, try to repay all I've taken from you. Oh, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way. I've waited.